Hare Krishna. Very happy to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to try and share something. Beg for your permission and blessings. This morning we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, we're reading from chapter number 1, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Although this is the Madhya Lila, we're discussing a chapter called The Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because Kaviraj Goswami was very old and he was not sure that he would be able to finish everything. Therefore, he gave the synopsis in the Madhya Lila of what Mahaprabhu did in his final days. So we're reading text number 36 to 41. So I'll just read the English for the verses up to 41. And then 41's on the board, so then we'll read that together. Hare Krishna. We have already given the names of four books compiled by Sanatan Goswami. Similarly, Rupa Goswami has also compiled many books, which no one can even count. That's interesting. Imagine you've written so many books that no one they've lost count of how many books you've written. Hare Krishna. I shall therefore enumerate the chief books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan in 100,000 verses. The books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami include Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Ujjval Neelamani, Lalita Madhava. Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled the Dan Keli Kaumudi, Stavavali, Leela Chanda, Padyavali, Govinda Virudavali, Mathura Mahatmya, and Nataka Varnana. Okay, so now we come to text number 41. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Who can count the rest of the books headed by the Laghu Bhagavatamrita written by Srila Rupa Goswami? He has described the pastimes in Vrindavan in all of them. So it's a lengthy purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given a description of these books. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a great book of instruction on how to develop devotional service to Lord Krishna and follow the transcendental process. It was finished in the year 1463 Shakabda, AD 1541. This book is divided into four parts, Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division, Dakshina Vibhag, Southern Division, Paschima Vibhag, Western Division, and Uttara Vibhag, Northern Division. In the Purva Vibhag, there is a description of the permanent development of devotional service, the general principles of devotional service, the execution of devotional service, ecstasy in devotional service, and ultimately the attainment of love of Godhead are described. In this way, there are four laharis, waves, in this division of the ocean of the nectar of devotion. In the Dakshina Vibhag, Southern Division, there is a general description of the mellow relationship called Bhakti Ras, which is derived from devotional service. There are also descriptions of the stages known as Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika, Vyabhichari, Stai Bhava, all on this high platform of devotional service. Thus, there are five waves in the Dakshina Vibhag division. In the Western division, Paschima Vibhag, there is a description of the chief transcendental humors derived from devotional service. These are known as Mukhya Bhakti Rasa Nirupan, or attainment of the chief humors or feelings in the execution of devotional service. In that part, there is a description of devotional service in neutrality, further development in love and affection called servitude, further development in fraternity, further development in parenthood or parental love, and finally conjugal love between Krishna and his devotees. And thus there are five waves in the Western Division. In the Northern Division, Uttara Vibhag, there is a description of the indirect mellows of devotional service, namely devotional service in laughter, devotional service in wonder, devotional service in chivalry, pity, anger, dread, and ghastliness. There are also mixing of mellows and the transgression of different humors. Thus there are nine waves in this part. This is but a brief outline of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 6 paragraphs to go. The Vidagdha Madhava is a drama of Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami finished this book in the year 1454, Shakabda, 1532 AD. The first part of this drama is called Venu Nada Vilas. The second part, Manmatha Lekha. The third part, Radha Sangha. The fourth part, Venu Harana. The fifth part, Radha Prashadana. The sixth part, Sarad Vihar. And the seventh and last part, Gauri Vihar. There is also a book called Ujjval Neelamani, a transcendental account of loving affairs that includes metaphor, analogy, and higher bhakti sentiments. Devotional service in conjugal love is described briefly in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it is very elaborately discussed in Ujjval Neelamani. This book describes different types of lovers, their assistants, and those who are very dear to Krishna. There is also a description of Srimati Radharani and other female lovers, as well as various group leaders, messengers and the constant associates, as well as those who are very dear to Krishna, are all described. The book also relates how love of Krishna is awakened and describes the ecstatic situation, the devotional situation, permanent ecstasy, disturbed ecstasy, steady ecstasy, different portions of different dresses, different positions of different dresses, feelings of separation, prior attraction, anger in attraction, varieties of loving affairs, separation from the beloved, meeting with the beloved, and both direct and indirect enjoyment between lover and the beloved. All this has been elaborately described. Similarly, the Lalita Madhava is a description of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. These pastimes were made into a drama and the work was finished in the year 1459, Shakabda. The first part deals with the festivities in the evening, the second with the killing of Shankarchuda, the third with maddened Srimati Radharani, and the fourth with Radharani's proceeding toward Krishna, the fifth with the attainment of Chandravali, the sixth with the attainment of Lalita, the seventh with the meeting in Navavrindavan, the eighth with the enjoyment in Navavrindavan, the ninth with looking over pictures, and the tenth with complete satisfaction of the mind. Thus the entire drama is divided into 10 parts. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita is divided into 2 parts. The first is called the Nectar of Krishna, and the second the Nectar of Devotional Service. The importance of Vedic evidence is stressed in the first part, and this is followed by a description of the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Sri Krishna, and descriptions of his pastimes and expansions in Svamsa, personal forms, Vibhinamsa. According to different absorptions, the incarnations are called Avesh and Tadekatma. The first incarnation is divided into 3 Purusha avatars, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Then there are 3 incarnations in the modes of nature, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, Shiva. All the paraphernalia used in this service of the Lord is transcendental, beyond the 3 qualities of the material world. There is also a description of the 25 Leela avatars, namely Chatusan, the Kumaras, Narad, Varaha, Matsya, Yagya, Naranarayan Rishi, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hayagriva, Hamsa, Prishnigarb, Rishabh, Prithu, Nrishimha, Kurma, Danvantri, Mohini, Vaman, Parashuram, Dasarathi, Krishna Dvaipayana, Balaram, Vasudev, Buddha and Kalki. There are also 14 incarnations of Manu, Yagya, Vibhu, Satyasen, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Rishabh, Vishvakshen, Dharmasetu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, Brihat Bhanu. There are also 4 incarnations for the 4 yugas, and their colors are described as white, red, blackish, and black, sometimes yellow, as in the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are different types of millenniums and incarnations for those millenniums. The categories called Avesh, Prabha, Vaibhav, and Pada constitute different situations for the different incarnations. According to the specific pastimes, the names are spiritually empowered. There are also descriptions of the difference between powerful and the power and the inconceivable activities of the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and no one is greater than him. He is the source of all incarnations. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there are descriptions of his partial incarnations a description of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, actually the bodily effulgence of Sri Krishna. The super excellence of Sri Krishna's pastimes of an ordinary human being with two hands and so forth. There is nothing to compare with the two-armed form of the Lord. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Jagat, there is no distinction between the owner of the body and the body itself. In the material world, the owner of the body is called a soul, and the body is called a material manifestation. In the Vaikuntha world, however, there is no such distinction. Lord Sri Krishna is unborn, and his appearance as an incarnation is perpetual. Krishna's pastimes are divided into two parts, manifest and unmanifest. For example, when Krishna takes his birth in the material world, his pastimes are considered to be manifest. However, when he disappears, one should not think that he is finished, for his pastimes are going on in an unmanifest form. Varieties of humors, however, are enjoyed by the devotees and Lord Krishna during his manifest pastimes. After all, his pastimes in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Dwarka are eternal and are going on perpetually somewhere in some part of the universe. Okay, got it? Srila Prabhupada ki. So again, I beg for your permission and blessings to try and share some thoughts on this. So here we are reading how Srila Rupa Goswami was so empowered. I mean, just reading this purport, just look at how many things he described about Krishna's inner life. One time Srila Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, and there we know Srila Prabhupada was on the ground in the Lower East Side trying to bring Vrindavan to the whole world. And there, every day, diligently, Prabhupada would be translating. And one day, one boy came, Howard, an English professor. So Prabhupada said, "Can you help? I have some pages of typed manuscript here. Can you edit it up and retype it and bring it back?" He was happy. He took it away and he came back sometime later. He said, "Swamiji, here are your pages, all done." And then he looked at the Swamiji and he said, "Swamiji, any more service?" That's a dangerous question to ask in a Hare Krishna temple. Prabhupada got up, he opened the closet and there were stacks of typed manuscripts. Howard Hayagriva looked at all the manuscripts and nearly fainted. And he said, "Swamiji, it looks like a lifetime of typing." Prabhupada said, "Many lifetimes of typing." And Hayagriva thought, "Many lifetimes of service." Prabhupada was just right there translating all of this. He said, "I want to translate all the works of the Goswamis. I want to bring them to the world so people can understand these wonderful insights that they brought." So there was Prabhupada very early in the morning. We can say late at night or early in the morning, whatever way you want to see it. When everyone else was sleeping, Srila Prabhupada was up. One time, Guru Kripa Prabhu recalls that in the middle of the night, Prabhupada called him and he was sleeping. He kind of brushed the sleep out of his eyes and went to see Prabhupada, and he came in front of Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, "Why are you sleeping?" He said, "Like, it's the middle of the night. This is what time we sleep." So Prabhupada said, "But I am not sleeping." So Guru Kripa Prabhu said, "Yeah, Prabhupada, we've been working all day, so now we're just resting." Prabhupada said, "I was also working all day." Then Guru Kripa Prabhu said, "But Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee like you." So Prabhupada said, "Why are you not a pure devotee?" He said, "I don't know, Prabhupada, what shall I do?" Prabhupada said, "Go back to sleep." So Prabhupada was just tireless. Tireless in translating these literatures and just bringing it to the world. And here we're reading how Rupa Goswami, Vraja Vilas Varnan, he was bringing Vrindavan to the world. You see, we take it for granted, Vrindavan. One commentator, he says, the Goswamis brought a glimpse of a spiritual world that nobody knew about. When we think of heaven, or when we think of God's abode, we think of, most people think of clouds and harpsichords and a lot of peace. And this commentator says the Goswami is brought to the world a glimpse of a spiritual world that nobody knew about. They illumined a God who loved his devotees as much as his devotees loved him. They illuminated on Krishna, who needed his devotees as much as they needed him. They showed that here was a personality, the supreme personality, who was serving his devotees as much as his devotees were serving him. This commentator writes, Vrindavan is a world where God is more human than superhuman, where God is more natural than supernatural. It's a realm in which sweetness overcomes all sense of greatness, and it's a world in which everyone is an atheist, in the sense that no one sees Krishna as God. So we kind of take that for granted, like, yeah, we know that, we've read Krishna book. This is a revolutionary concept of intimacy in terms of relationship with God, and this is what the Goswamis revealed. The Goswamis were being revealed with truths of Vrindavan within their heart at every moment. Sometimes people think the Goswamis were very renounced, therefore they were going and living under a different tree every day, so as not to get attached. That's only the external story. The real story is that the Goswamis were going under a tree, different tree, every single night, because under each tree they were being revealed with the pastimes that Krishna performed under that very tree in Vrindavan. Every moment they were being revealed with all of this incredible understanding of Krishna and his rasa with the devotees. Rupa Goswami, he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan. So he went, but after a few months he began to feel separation from Mahaprabhu, so he decided to leave Vrindavan and journey towards Jagannath Puri. So by this time, Rupa Goswami was already writing a drama on Vrindavan. So he was traveling to Jagannath Puri as he was writing this drama, and then he stopped in a village called Satyabhamapur. And there Satyabhama came to him, Krishna's queen, came to him in a dream and said, why are you trying to write one drama with Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura all together? You cannot do this. You have to write separate dramas. Which is pretty amazing. He was getting direct guidance from Krishna's associates how to write. So then, okay, that's what I'll do then. So then he began to write Vidagdha Madhava, all about Vrindavan, Lalita Madhava, all about Dwarka. Anyway, finally he reached Jagannath Puri. So there in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was having his Rath Yatra pastimes. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gornita ki jai. So there Mahaprabhu was having his Rath Yatra pastimes. Just the other day, actually, we were watching the 1973 Rath Yatra, the famous one in London where Prabhupada came and he was dancing. And one of the devotees said it was just like the description of Mahaprabhu having Rath Yatra with the Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri. So here was Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And as he was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, it said that tears of ecstasy were coming out of his eyes like syringes. And there, Mahaprabhu was feeling very much the ecstasy, the transcendental separation of Radharani, who was trying to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri and he was observing the whole situation. So then one day in his bhajan kutir, he was staying with Haridas Thakur in Siddha Bakul. So then one day in the bhajan kutir, he began to pen a verse of what Mahaprabhu was feeling, the Gopi Bhav, Radha Bhav, in front of the Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Rath Yatra cart. So he wrote this verse, and then he put this verse in the roof of his cottage. And then Mahaprabhu came. Somehow Mahaprabhu saw, pulled out that verse. He read this verse written by Rupa Goswami, and he said, how could he understand my mind? Mahaprabhu looked at Swarup Damodar Goswami and he says, Mora antar varta rupa janila komane. Mora antar vartan. How could he understand my internal mood? Janila komane. How can he understand this? And then Swarup Damodar looked at him and said, Swarup kohe jani kripa kuriyache pane. Swarup Damodar said, you have kripa kori. You have given him your mercy. You have empowered him. Therefore, it's not at all surprising that he can describe all of these internal moods by that you have expressed, because you have given him your mercy. When the Lord gives us his mercy, when we are the objects of that kripa, then anything is possible. Anything can be done. And Mahaprabhu said, you're right. So like this, Rupa Goswami just kept writing and writing, empowered by the Lord. He wrote another beautiful verse. Tundaitan divini ratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna krodha kadambini ghatayate karna budhe vyaspriham cheta prangini sangini vijayate Skovendriya kritim no jane janita kiyat biramrite krishneti varnadvayi. Such a beautiful verse. He says, I do not know how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna. When these two syllables enter my mouth, they dance on my tongue, and I desire many, many mouths. And when these two syllables enter my ears, I desire many, many ears. And when these two syllables enter the courtyard of my heart, then it conquers my mind and it renders all my senses completely inert. Wow. It's like such a verse. Haridas Thakur heard that verse and he just started dancing. I mean, he was just dancing. Like, wow, this is such a description. So Rupa Goswami was just being empowered so much by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to describe all these things. Every one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates was empowered in different ways. Jiva Goswami was known as Tattvacharya. He was empowered to understand the philosophical conclusions in a profundity and depth that no one could even imagine. Haridas Thakur was known as the Namacharya. He was able to chant and enter the mysteries of the holy name like no one else could penetrate. And Rupa Goswami was known as Rasacharya. He was able to understand the rasa, the mellow, the deep truths of Krishna's relationship with his devotees like no one else could understand. Therefore, Rupa Goswami was being empowered in this way. So today we can reflect for a moment on the concept of empowerment. Empowerment is such an important part of Krishna consciousness. Because when we see someone getting empowered, then it gives a lot of faith. And when we feel that empowerment from Krishna, then we get a lot of faith. You see, like you see someone like Srila Prabhupada who was just so incredibly empowered. And it's almost like Srila Prabhupada's life gives you faith that Krishna must exist. Because otherwise what Srila Prabhupada did is just completely outrageous. One theologian, he said, now I can see it as a miracle. Otherwise how could one old man with just a few books to sell to get some money for food introduce a God-conscious movement in a materialistic society? This is a theologian. He's saying, now I can see it's a miracle. Of course, Srila Prabhupada knew, if I follow Mahaprabhu, if I tap in to whatever the prophecy of the Acharyas is, and I just follow that, it will happen. One time Prabhupada was in Keshavji Gaudiya Math, and he was sitting next to Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, one of his godbrothers. So they were sitting down and they were taking prasadam together. Some people came in and they saw Prabhupada and his godbrother sitting down taking prasadam. And then those guests came in, they saw them, and then the guest left. Prabhupada looked at his godbrother and he said, those guests have just come in. And they're thinking, here are two old men taking prasadam. But what they don't realize is that the future of Mahaprabhu's movement and mission in this world is in the hands of one of these old men. Prabhupada knew. Anyone who follows, anyone who taps in, will be empowered. So we can reflect for a moment on how is it that we can become more empowered. We will never reach a level of empowerment of Rupa Goswami or any of these great saints. This is another level. But still in our own life, we want to feel the empowerment of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is not just a philosophy to help us believe in God, but it's a philosophy which is meant to help us to actually perceive God's presence at every moment in our lives. So when we're feeling the empowerment of Krishna, that's what's going to keep us steady on this path. And to practice Krishna consciousness in this life, to perfect Krishna consciousness and to share Krishna consciousness, we need to become empowered. So, let us reflect for a moment, what does it take to get empowered? And the first point that we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in terms of if you want to be an empowered Vaishnava, the first thing that must be there is desire to serve. It all begins with desire. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the art of desiring. So when one's desire to serve is so great, then one begins to go beyond all their limitations and access an energy and empowerment from Krishna that helps one realize, oh my God, Krishna is real, because all these things are happening that I have no power over. It's like you look at Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It's an excellent example of empowerment. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, anyway, it's a long story, but he was in the house and Miniketana Ram was offended in his house. So he was feeling very, very bad. Excuse me. So then, one day in a dream, Nityananda Prabhu came to him. Are are Krishna das na karah bhai Vrindavana yataha sarva labhya hai. Are are Krishna das, oh Krishna das, na karah bhai, don't worry about anything. Now I'm telling you, Vrindavana yataha, just go to Vrindavan, sarva labhya hai, and there in Vrindavan you will get everything. So he just got a dream from Nityananda Prabhu. Go to Vrindavan. It's like, how do I get to Vrindavan? What do I do when I get there? How will I survive? What's going to be my service? He didn't know any of that. But Nityananda said to him, Vrindavana yahataha sarva labhya hai. Go to Vrindavan. I have a service for you there. Everything will happen. Don't worry. Kaviraj Goswami's desire to serve was so great that even though there was uncertainty, he just left the very next day and went to Vrindavan. There in Vrindavan, he was associating with so many Vaishnavas, incredible Vaishnavas. Like he said, he was associating with Haridas Pandit, who every day in the Govinda temple was reciting Chaitanya Bhagavat. These were no ordinary Vaishnavas. These were like Premier League Vaishnavas, like the highest of the high. Like Haridas Pandit is said, Vaishnavera gunagrahi nade kaya dosh kaya manovakya kores Vaishnava santosh. Haridas Pandit, what kind of Vaishnava was he? Vaishnavera gunagrahi. When he looked at Vaishnavas, he could only see the good in them. Na dekaya dosh, and he could not even see any faults if he tried. Think like, oh my God. We kind of see all the faults and we can't see any good if we try, you know? It's like, Vaishnaveda gunagrahi, na dekaya dosh. He could not see any fault in anyone. Kaya mano vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. With his mind, his words, his very life, his only desire was Vaishnava santosh. Just serve the devotees. Vaishnavas are happy, my life is a success. Such a Vaishnava. So Kaviraj Goswami was associating with such Vaishnavas of the highest caliber. And then they tell him one day, we want you to write all about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's thinking like, who am I? Who am I in the midst of all of these great personalities? Kaviraj Goswami says, Nicha Jati Shudra Ami Vishaya Lalas. My birth is low. Nicha Jati, Shudra Ami. My birth is low, my character is low, my consciousness is low. I am a no one. But then he says, Vaishnavagya bole kore eite kasahas. But because the Vaishnavas have ordered me, and because the Vaishnavas have expressed their desire for me to serve in a certain way, Aitika Sahas, I've become very enthusiastic to try and do this service. So when the desire to serve is so great, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj makes a wonderful statement. When one's desire to serve is so great that they go beyond their capacity, but they continue on without any hesitation, at that moment empowerment occurs. When we have such a desire to serve that we just serve, and we're going beyond our capacity, but we think, I want to serve, then Krishna comes into the equation and starts helping and starts doing amazing things. Impossible things become possible. It's just like on the marathon, like just this marathon just gone by. So, of course, you all know we were trying to do this 50,000 doors thing. Anyway, then it wasn't really happening. And then a few individuals came up with this bright idea that we're going to try and do 30,000, knock 30,000 doors in 3 days. So someone came up with that idea and like, yeah, anyone can say a number, that's fine. They said, no, let's try. So it's quite interesting. What happened is, I went on canva.com. You know, Canva, that you make posters and all that. So they told me, make a poster. So, okay, I'm on canva.com and I'm making this poster and I'm typing it in. 30,000 doors, 3 days. And I'm just thinking like, is this really going to happen? Like, now the interesting thing, I don't know if anyone's used canva.com, but what happens is, I'm not like a sales agent for them, by the way, I'm just, like, and what happens is once you put all the stuff in, then it generates the poster, and at the end, after it generates the poster, a wisdom quote comes up. Just a random quote from someone. So I'm doing this poster, and like 30,000, I'm just like, anyway, I don't know, we'll try, you've got to try. And then I generate the poster, click the button, generate this poster, and then the quote comes up. And it's a quote from Nelson Mandela. And the quote is, everything in life seems impossible until the moment you actually do it. I was like, okay, maybe it's possible. Dushkaram sukaram bhavet. Kaviraj Goswami says, even the most difficult things become easy when one has the empowerment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the desire to serve becomes at the foremost, then amazing miracles begin to happen. So Rupa Goswami, he was just having such a desire to serve. He was willing to do anything. He met Mahaprabhu, the goal of his life. And then the first thing Mahaprabhu says is, now I want you to leave. Go away from me. go to Vrindavan. Bhakti Bhakta Krishna Prem Tatvera Nidhar Vaishnavera Kritya Ar Vaishnava Achar Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prem Seva Pravartan Lupta Tirtha Udara Ar Vairagya Shikshan. So he gave all these instructions to the Goswamis, write books, establish temples, excavate the holy places of pilgrimage, and basically go to Vrindavan and make it an epicenter of devotional service that everyone can come to gain inspiration. So Rupa Goswami's met like the love of his life, and now Mahaprabhu is saying leave. But because his desire to serve was so great, he left. And because he left and he had that desire to serve, then he just got empowered like anything. So I was thinking this the other day, that it's easy to follow the word, it's not easy, it's relatively easy to follow the word of God. But to follow the will of the devotee is difficult. You see, the word of God, the books, in one sense, to follow this is easy because it's predictable. You know what's in here. But the will of the devotee is unpredictable. The devotees may tell you to do anything. In one sense, it's easier to follow this because this is still quite general. You can interpret this. But the will of the devotee is very specific. They will tell you, do this. And in one sense, it's easier to follow this because this doesn't chase you. But the will of the devotee chases you. So, who is ready to follow the will of the devotee when the Vaishnavas ask us to serve in a certain way? Who is ready to follow that? It's very difficult. Even the other day, it was funny because I was actually writing this point on my computer. I was meditating on this point and writing this point. Difficult, easy to follow the word of God, difficult to follow the will of the devotee. And it was uncanny because right at that moment, Niskinchana is here. He comes into the library and then he's like, okay, we need to have a word. And it's like, oh no. Anyway, then I come out of the library and there's like five of them there. Joseph, Mali, Shesha, Niskinchana. And they're like, then I knew, oh my God, this is serious, you know? So then they take me into the meeting room and they're like, cut a long story short, we want you to be in the Gaur Purnima drama to be Lord Chaitanya. And I'm like, I'm not an actor, you know, like, my life is a drama, but I'm not an actor, you know? And the thing is, I was just writing this point on my computer, to follow the word of God is easy, but to follow the will of the devotee, very difficult. And here it was, like, faced by all of them. Anyway, I cut a deal with them. I'm going to be the narrator. So we are sometimes scared of letting the Vaishnavas into our lives. As they say, keep two chevrons apart. Like, don't let the Vaishnavas get too involved because, you know, they might just throw a few torpedoes in your way. But when that desire to serve the Vaishnavas, like Kaviraj Goswami said, Vaishnavagya bole kore eiteka shahash. I have no qualification, but because the Vaishnavas asked me, I'm enthusiastic. I'll do it. If they're saying I can do it, I can do it. And if I think about Srila Prabhupada's disciples, that was maybe their special qualification. That when Srila Prabhupada asked them to do something, there was no hesitation. They just did it. Like there's this, like, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was such a personality like that. There's this amazing interaction. Prabhupada is there with Rameshwar Prabhu and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Prabhupada is like the expert. Prabhupada said, no one can defeat me, I'm a Calcutta boy. Like Prabhupada knew how to bring out the best. So he knew here were two individuals who were super competitive, like for Prabhupada's pleasure. So Rameshwar Prabhu is in charge of the LABBT and all of that. So Prabhupada is just glorifying him like anything. Like in Los Angeles, they're distributing so many books and they're remitting this amount of Lakshmi to the BBT and Rameshwar. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj is just hearing it. Prabhupada knows. Prabhupada knows when he hears this, it's going to like awaken something within him. So then Prabhupada just glorifying Rameshwar Prabhu for the book distribution. And then Prabhupada just looks at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and says, "So Tamal, what do you think of this?" Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, "What would you like, Prabhupada?" I don't know if I'm telling the story exactly right, but anyway, you'll get the gist of it. And then Prabhupada says, "I want you to double it." It's like, double it. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in charge of the Radha Dhamma, the BBT traveling party. So double it. Without even thinking, Tamal Krishna Maharaj called one devotee and said, "Get the checkbook." How much did he remit? Whatever it was, $10,000. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, "Here's the checkbook, $20,000. Just put the date, 2 months from now. I'm signing it off. Prabhupada, here is your check, $20,000. Just give me 2 months. I'll have the money in the bank. Then you can check it." Such a spirit. Just understand that spirit. It was a spirit where the service came and it was like the desire was so strong. Yes, I'll do it. And then later on, you got to figure out all the details, how you're going to do it, you know? But the thing was, the desire came first and then the details came later on. And then sometimes I look at my life and I think whenever someone asks me for service, it's all about the details first. Oh, when can I do it? And then the default answer is always no. It's like someone asks you, "Prabhu, what are you doing next Saturday?" And then you're like, "Oh no, like what do I say? Do I say I'm free or do I say I'm not free? Or do I say it's unpredictable right now?" Or like, because if you're free and then they ask you and then you say no, it's like, but then if you say you're not free and you lie, that's also not good. When the desire to serve is so strong that it's yes, and the details come later, there's an empowerment that comes in that. Of course, Prabhupada also said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we should not take on such a responsibility or burden that it becomes too much for you. Okay, so that is there also. But the point is that the desire to serve is where magic occurs. Just like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was just being pushed by Srila Prabhupada. He was going to communist countries at the risk of death to distribute his books. And I think it was here Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj came to Prabhupada and Prabhupada called him over. And they said, "This is Ghanashyam and he's distributing books in the communist countries at risk of death." And Prabhupada just began rubbing his head and he said, "You are one of the great grandsons of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Thank you so much for your service." And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was just so overwhelmed by Prabhupada's love, he just started crying and he said, "Prabhupada, it's only because you pushed us. It's only because you pushed us." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, my spiritual master pushed me. And I am pushing you. And like this, just as one carriage pushes another carriage, and the whole train goes back to Godhead, my spiritual master pushed me, I am pushing you, and through this pushing, we will all go back to Godhead." So when I heard that story, I thought like, I don't know if I'm ready to be pushed, you know? Like, but factually, if I reflect on my own life, not that my life is anything great or anything, but yeah, factually whatever has been achieved is because Vaishnavas pushed and somehow we had some intelligence to say, "Yes, okay, I'll do it." So in that desire to serve, great things are happening. So I think the first thing that we have to see, the first precursor to empowerment, is a great desire to serve. And then I think the second thing that we're reading from the Goswami's lives and from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that when one throughout their life is constantly remaining dependent on Krishna, realizing that everything is in Krishna's hands, I'm simply reliant upon their mercy, then in that dependence, also empowerment occurs. It's not just a desire to serve, but in the service to remain dependent on Krishna. Just like here, Kaviraj Goswami is writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, but at the end of every single chapter, what is he saying? Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yare Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. At the end of every chapter, he's saying, remembering the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, depending fully on their mercy, I, Krishna Das, try to narrate Chaitanya Charitamrita. So to always remain dependent, to always realize that we're nothing, but if Krishna, if we remain dependent on Krishna, he can do anything. Like some time ago, someone sent me this quote on email. So the quote was, it was one of these Facebook viral quotes. It was, if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, you're right. This was like the quote. So he sent it to me. So then I was thinking about that. Okay, so this is modern self-development. If you think you can do it, you can. Because it's all in your in the mind. It's all on your ability. And if you think you can't do it, then you've disempowered yourself and you won't be able to do it. So if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, you're right. So that's the logic behind the quote. So I sent it back to him. I said, if you think you can, you're wrong. And if you think you can't, you're wrong. I said, put that on Facebook and see if it goes viral. He goes, no one will understand it. I go, yeah, people don't understand it. If you think you can, you're wrong. Because if you think, I'm going to become Krishna conscious, I'm going to preach Krishna consciousness by my own power, you're wrong. Because factually we have no power whatsoever. And if you think you can't, if you actually feel so humble that you think, I am unable to do this, but if Krishna helps me, if I rely on Krishna, then maybe I will be able to do it. Then actually, factually, you will be able to do it. So if you think you can, you're wrong. And if you think you can't, you're wrong. Because if you think you can't and that you tap into Krishna's mercy, then actually you will be able to do it. So anyway, I don't think that quote caught on. But I like it anyway. We are so much dependent. We have to remain dependent upon expecting Krishna's mercy. Just like, yeah, I was just in Vrindavan and then, you know, thinking about Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan in the late 50s, early 60s, he was a lone mendicant. He was a no one, I mean, in material terms. And Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me in two ways in my life. First, he took everything away, and then he gave me everything. So first, Krishna took everything away. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, practically stripped of everything. He said, I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. I've lost everything. Where are all my family members gone? All that is left of my family is a long list of names. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. Prabhupada said, this is misery. And then he says, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and in Vrindavan and I laugh. So Prabhupada was just alone in Vrindavan, no one, but happy. And then later on, that same Prabhupada returned to Vrindavan in 1973. The whole of Vrindavan came to meet him. There was a reception. the municipality, you know, booked out the town hall. So many eminent people came. They glorified Prabhupada with chamara fans and beautiful words. And then Prabhupada just stepped right out and he went right back to Radha Damodar and he was just the same Prabhupada. Just dependent on Krishna. If Krishna wants it to happen, great. If Krishna doesn't want it to happen, great. Like Prabhupada writes in his Jaladutta prayers, Krishna, make me a success or failure as you wish. Are you ready to be a complete failure for Krishna and be completely happy? That when I read that, I'd ask myself that question. Am I ready to be a complete failure and still be happy? That was Prabhupada, because he knew I'm just totally dependent on Krishna, whatever Krishna wants. So I think we're learning from the Goswamis, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that empowerment begins with desire. It carries on when one has this dependence on Krishna. And the third thing I want to share with you about empowerment is that empowerment occurs with devotees. You see, when devotees stay together, serve together, and sincerely try to offer something to Krishna together, then in that togetherness, Krishna manifests himself. If you read in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, then Narad Muni is going to find out who is the greatest devotee, who got the greatest mercy from Krishna. So he goes first to the Prayag Brahman. He says, no, no, it's not me. Go to the southern king. So he goes to the southern king. The southern king says, no, no, it's not me. Go to Indra. So then he goes to Indra. Indra says, it's not me. Go to Brahma. So like this, he's going. But it's interesting, when Narad Muni comes to Brahma, then Brahma says, why have you come to me? Narad Muni said, Indra said to come to you because you're the one who got the most mercy. Brahma said, funny Indra saying that. He said, me and Indra both made big mistakes in Vrindavan. Indra sent the Samvartak cloud and inundated Vrindavan with rain. And Brahma, what did he do? He stole all the cowherd boys. Brahma said, after Indra did his mischief, he just had to say a few prayers and Krishna forgave him. But after I did my mischief in Vrindavan, I prayed and prayed and prayed to Krishna, and only after a long time Krishna forgave me. You know why? You know why Brahma's mischief, Brahma's mistake was so much worse than Indra? Because Indra's mischief, the net result of it was that it brought all the Vaishnavas together. Brahma's mischief was that it separated all the Vaishnavas. So Brahma said, I made a grave mistake. Because what Krishna becomes most unhappy about is when he is separated from the devotees and the devotees are separated from each other. So where the devotees stay together and where the devotees have great love and trust and service attitude together, then there Krishna comes to perform his pastimes. So you see that with the Goswamis. They were just having such loving relationships amongst themselves. They were discussing, serving each other, sharing all of their knowledge. Imagine every single one of these Goswamis was a complete Maharati. It was like a powerful person. Yeah, like take Rupa and Sanatan. They were powerful ministers in the Muslim occupational government. They were like prominent political figures. Take Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was the son of the chief priest in Sri Rangam, which is the center of Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya. I mean, he's a powerful person. Take Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was the guru of like these Amba Jaipur kings. He was like a guru of kings. Take Raghunath Das Goswami, he was practically a multi-millionaire. Now imagine you get a multi-billionaire, a powerful guru of kings, someone who's the son of the chief priest of one of the most influential sampradayas in the whole of India. And then you get two of the most politically powerful figures in the country. Get them all together in a room and try and get them to cooperate. It's like, it's so difficult. It's very difficult. But they were so humble and they knew if we cooperate, if we have unity, then Mahaprabhu will empower us. So they just did it. They just stayed together. Teamwork makes the dream work in modern day terminology. So here we're reading Rupa Goswami was prolific. He was a prolific author, not just in terms of quantity of what he wrote, but in terms of the depth of what he wrote. And it's clear that Rupa Goswami was only able to do this because he was incredibly empowered. And so today, we're reflecting on how maybe if we can also become empowered, then we can also experience Krishna in our life, and that will actually give us the most faith. And how do you get empowered? It begins with desire to serve. It then goes on that one must always in their life remain dependent, never become proud, never think that I have reached it. Power tends to amplify whatever is within the heart. So if one is proud and then they become very powerful, the pride manifests to the next degree. But when one is humble and then they get empowered, then actually their humility goes to increasing degrees. Therefore, Mahaprabhu read Rupa and Sanatan and he said, please give up your humility, it's killing me. Can you imagine? Mahaprabhu is the one who told the world, become more humble than a blade of grass. And in front of Rupa and Sanatan, Mahaprabhu is saying, give up your humility, it's breaking my heart. You can understand they were extremely humble. So to always remain dependent, the second point, and then finally that the devotees remain together. So desire, dependence, devotees. When these three things are in place, empowerment occurs. And that's the ultimate proof of Krishna consciousness. Because this movement is not just meant to make you believe in God. It's meant to help you feel the touch of God at every moment in your life. And seeing the empowerment of Krishna and feeling that empowerment of Krishna is amazing. It's so faith-giving and hope-giving. And so we pray to become... Yesterday was the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His constant prayer was, let me just become a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami and serve the parampara. And when we have that kind of humility and that kind of desire, then all of this Krishna magic becomes a reality in our lives like that. Hare Krishna. Just some thoughts. We have a few minutes if anyone has any comments, corrections, questions, anything.